现现在的苦处。
我现主若比起将来要享有我们的荣耀，就不知介意了。为什么我讲这句话？好，我给你看的原因。So you see here, what he say is in verse 18, our present suffering is not worth comparing. Okay, that's what he made a statement. 那你讲这句话，没有人信你。他好，我告诉你为什么原因。所以底下他用三个 three facts 来 substantiate what he want to say here, namely in 18 to 25, sure in the future the whole cosmic whole universe will be renewed. 没有错，我告诉你说现在枯楚若比起将来要显于我们荣耀就不知节意了。为什么缘故呢？因为所有一切的宇宙都要改变，我们也要改变，我们的身体要改变。所以啊，现在的苦楚跟将来的勇敢比起来，你不必介意。 OK, now in 8:26 and 27 he talk about, but right now even before our change the Holy Spirit helps us. Right now 圣灵现在帮助我们，所以现在我们的苦楚不必介意。还有什么呢？你看 That is God'seternal plan for our glorification. 我们得荣耀不是神早就预备好了，早就计划好了，所以神一定要 bring about our glorification. God's our glorification is God's eternal plan. Surely God is going to see through. Therefore I say our present suffering is not worth comparing with our future glory. Okay, that is substantiation. Okay.Organization is called instrumentation. Now, instrumentation is this, namely, you use some kind of instrument to achieve your goal. Okay, instrumentation. For example, I say, well, I want to go to Harrisburg to catch a plane. Now, how do I go? Well, someone drive me, take me there. Okay, that is by means of instrumentation. Now,Let's read John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. 讲很多 signs, 这个我们中文把它分成神迹啊 miss the point. (Clears throat) 那里所说的耶稣行了很多的 signs, Simeon.Semia, signs 是记号或者是可能标记。OK, signs 是什么意思呢？因为约翰在这里啊。OK, 我这么问各位好，我不讲。另外行了很多的 signs 没有记在这个书上，可是在这一本约翰福音上所记的 signs 的目的做什么？就是要叫你来信耶稣是基督，是神的儿子。使你因着信了他，你就因他的名得生命。OK, 好，所以约翰用什么方法 ？OK, 我问各位，约翰写这一本福音书的目的做什么？叫人信耶稣神的儿子，对不对？他用什么方法来叫人信耶稣神的儿子？
写这些事。
他就把这些耶稣所做的 signs 摆在我们的面前。 OK, signs 是什么呢？其实是一种 evidence, 有 evidence 的意义 signs。 所以耶稣说，你看约翰说，我把做耶稣所行出来的这事，因为如果不是耶稣如果不是神的话，没有人能够做这些事出来。都像尼哥底母向耶稣说，我晓得你是从神那里的那来的，因为如果没有神与你同在啊，没有人能够做出这些事来。所以那是 signs。 OK, 我讲几个 signs 各位就晓得了。我虽然没有时间讲这么多了，不过我稍微提一下就是了。比如说啊， OK, 那一个啊，耶稣最初啊，他遇见了这一个菲利， Now, Philip first came to follow Jesus. And after he found Jesus, he went to see Nathanael. Okay, he's a fellow countryman. He went to see Nathanael. And Philip told Nathanael, well, the one Moses mentioned in his book, I have found. Namely, I have found Messiah, the Jesus of Nazareth. And what did Nathanael say? What did Nathanael say? Nazareth 能够吃好什么东西? What any good can come out of Nazareth? 我不听啊。 But Philip said, 你来看。 他就来了。 Therefore, Nathanael, okay, Nathanael went to see Jesus. Well, he came to see Jesus, and he came, Jesus came, saw him coming. Jesus said, 你看,这个是真以色列人, you are true Israelite. 因为你心里没有诡诈。 Nathanael originally was very antagonistic against Jesus, 不理他。 他听了这句话以后, Nathanael 怎么样? 马上变了他的态度, 对不对? 他马上信了耶稣。 How did Nathanael come to accept Jesus as a Messiah? How? Right. Nathanael said, 你看, 没有人, nobody can do this. Only you, the one who come from God, can do this. Otherwise, who can know? Even before I met you, you know what kind of person I was. Okay, now we have this throughout the Gospel of John. Let me just mention another one. 这个, the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4. Jesus went to this Samaria near Sychar. And Jesus met this woman and said, well, lady, give me something to drink. And this lady, how you dare to ask me for drink? Now remember, you are Jew and I'm Samaritan. 我们是世仇。你是犹太人，我是撒玛利亚人，我们两个国家是世仇。你是男人，我是女人，男女授受不亲。他不懂得这句话了，不过他意思就是这样。你怎么敢向我要水喝？哎，你真大胆！ She was a very antagonistic against Jesus. But Jesus said, well, you don't know. If you know who I am, you probably ask me to give you some living water, and I already have given you some living water. A Samaritan woman said, hey, 很好, living water, 活水给我吧。 He said, oh, I'm willing to give you. 叫你的丈夫来, you go to get your husband, ask your husband, come here, I give you, give it up to you. She said, great, I don't have a husband, I don't have to go to get my husband. Jesus said, yes, what you say is true, because you have had five husbands before. Now, the man you are living with now is not your husband. Immediately, she changed her attitude 100, how many degree? 80 degree. At least 179, more than 179 degree. She said, Rabbi, I perceive you are prophet. Now, how did this Samaritan woman's attitude change? Because she saw sign. Unless this man is from God, he cannot know my past history. Okay. And this is the way John presents the case. John said, okay, I give you so many evidences so that you may believe Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, our faith is based on evidences. We are not believing, just say, oh, 有亮光,我就相信了. Not that. Somehow I like to pray on this 亮光, keep on 亮光. But it is because we have sufficient evidences as a basis for our faith. Okay, keep this in mind. If you want to do effective evangelism in this 20th century, you better remember this. There are evidences, basis for our faith. We are not just groundless. Without evidence, we believe in. We do have many evidences. Okay. So, this is called instrumentation. Namely, by presenting these evidences, these signs, as a means to achieve the purpose. The purpose is that so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And this, the presentation of these signs are called instrumentation. So John, the entire Gospel of John, is organized on this principle, instrumentation. Okay? Now, next one is called preparation. I think that we take a break after this through. So we take a break in about 10 or 15 minutes at most. I think we are getting pretty soon, getting there, so it's all right. Now, what is preparation? Let me, suppose, no, I'm not saying we are taking break now. I said we are taking break in about 15 minutes. Verse 4 to 5, namely how God created Adam and Eve, and that the God put them in the paradise, not Pennsylvania, but the paradise in Eden. Okay? And mention about in the paradise, there was a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 to 25, mention this. Now, without this, without Genesis chapter 2, 4 to 25, we would not understand what's going on in Genesis chapter 3. Talk about Adam and Eve disobey God's command. Therefore, Genesis chapter 2, 4 to 25 is preparation. Is a preparation for the story in chapter 3. So you can see, for example, in chapter 3, the Garden of Eden is essential. 很重要, 没有伊甸园的话, 那第三章根本不成什么理, 就不, that will make sense, right? Okay, 第三章里面谈到生命是, the life tree of life, 也谈到 分辨善恶的树木, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. 就亚当夏娃犯罪的时候都跟这有关。所以啊，创世纪第二章第四节到第二十五节，先讲到神把他们放在伊甸园里面，神那里放这个生命树跟这个分辨善恶的树。所以你看，这个就是 make preparation 这一段 make preparation of what's going on here. So this is a preparation. Okay. Is that clear? I think the next two is easy, so we don't have to take much time. So probably we can take a break in about or less than 10 minutes anyway. Be encouraged. 第三章讲到人类的堕落，就始祖亚当夏娃犯罪，对不对？那他们犯罪的时候是什么呢？是夏娃去拿了这一个分别善恶的树的果子吃了，神叫他们不要吃的，到哪儿吃了？吃了又拿给亚当吃。 后来因为他们犯了罪，所以神把他们赶出伊甸乐园，所以要防备，因为神不愿意他们再伸手去折那个生命树的果子来吃，他们永远活着，所以神把他们赶出去了。这是第三章所讲的。可是你如果不先告诉我们说伊甸园里面呢有生命树跟有分别善恶之事，你我们怎么马上你就晓得可以抓住东西出来吃？人家不晓得，对不对？所以这个先来做一个 preparation， OK。 先讲到神怎么样创造亚当夏娃，然后神把他们放在伊甸园里面，在伊甸园里面有生命树，有分别善恶的果子的事 ，preparation for that，OK？、Okay.
那也很可能说第三点呢，所以
summarization 呢 ，summary 就是各位晓得什么叫 summary 了，对不对？好，我就念了这张圣经，我念很快一点，约书亚记十二章，你看各位看啊。 约书亚记 in the book of Joshua， 从第一章开始，他们就讲到以色列人进迦南地，他们占了哪一个地方，占了很多地方，对不对？那结果他就把这个在第十二章啊，就把以色列人所得到的地通列出来。OK， summarize， 约书亚夺了那全地，就是山地一带、南地、歌山全地，什么高原、什么地方，就把通通列出来，那个 summarization。 就好像你们拿了念了一个五六年的书，那最后人家给你一个 transcript， 告诉你念什么书 summarize， 你所学的课通通 summarize 出来，那个就是 summarization，OK，、okay? just like a transcript， summarize all the courses you took during the past 5-6 years，OK、okay?。Now the last one is called interrogation。Interrogation 是什么呢？ 是常常啊给你发这个问题 ，OK？Usually， use a question or present a problem and then follow by answer. Okay. Present a question or present a problem followed by answer. That is called interrogation. Let's look at, for example, Romans chapter 6. 罗马书第六章. This is the last one. 罗马书第六章第一节。 第六章第一节，罗马第六章第一节，他说啊， 这样怎么说呢？ 我们可以忍耐在罪中叫恩典显多吗？ See that? Pose a problem, right? Pose a question. And then 从第二节底下， 他就讲到这个 solution, the answer to this question. 绝不可以, why? So this is called interrogation. 对不对？ 我问各位说， 你们都是很 tired 啊， 听我吹牛吹一小时半啊， 很 tired， 很疲倦的， 你们是不是要休息？ 好， 因为大家很累， 所以应该休息。 这是一个 interrogation， therefore you can go for 30 minutes. 对对对。 Return to your church or wherever you live, and you want to report. People ask you, okay, what kind of seminar you have during this week? What kind of thing you do? Now, how are you going to report it? Will you take the largest volume to talk about what you consider to be most important? Or will we take, suppose they said, okay, I hear you write your report in 2 pages. Suppose they said that. Now, will you take the most of the volume, talk about what you consider to be most important, or are you going to talk about, or are you going to take the most of the volume, talk about something, what time I get up, and what I ate, etc.? What is your way of doing it? Namely, will you devote the most of the volume to the important thing, that what you consider to be most important, right? So if you think that the classes you attendees are the most important one, probably you take about a page and a half to talk about the class, and then about half page talk about the visit to the Amish farm or Amish house. Of course, if you think that's the highlight of your visit here, probably you take about 2 pages to write on that. Now, what I'm getting at here is this is the way we think, and this is the way we work. Okay? So, for example, in the Gospel according to Mark, I'm just illustrating something here. Okay, what is the length of the life of Jesus? Roughly speaking. You don't have to be very accurate. Yeah, somewhere around 33, right? How many... Okay, out of these 33 years, approximately speaking, how long did Jesus spend in his ministry?
3 years.
About 3 years, right? Okay. What we see in the Gospel of Mark is this. 我不知道马可福音里面看到的是什么呢？ 就是耶稣的生平。 从耶稣1岁到30岁左右， 马可用几张的声音写他？ How many... Now, this is supposed to be Mark's Gospel here. How much of the entire Gospel Mark devote to the life of Jesus from when his birth until he is about 30 years old?
Huh?
Two chapters or so?
None.
Nothing. He didn't mention even. Right? So the way he divided the material indicate that to Mark, the important portion of the life of Jesus is his ministry. Okay, the period between his birth and when he began to his ministry, say about 30 years old, is not so important. So he didn't even touch it upon it. Okay, but not only that. From chapter 11 to chapter 16, he devoted about 1/3. Or even more than 1/3 of Mark's Gospel to deal with the last week of his ministry. namely the last week of the ministry of Jesus as and his death and resurrection. Now, when we see this that way, Mark devote his material to the life of Jesus, what is the most important portion of the life of Jesus in the evaluation of Mark? When? Huh? Last week. Right? Namely, the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most important portion in his entire life. Therefore, some biblical scholars now are saying, okay, what is the Gospel of Mark? Gospel of Mark really is reporting the death and the resurrection of Jesus with some kind of prologue, or any kind of introduction. Long introduction, but what the main focus is on his death and resurrection. Now, it is important for us to see this kind of structure, okay, of the book to get the message. Namely, therefore, you know, so far as the ministry, life of Jesus is concerned, the last week and his death and resurrection is the climax, is the most important thing. Another thing I'd like to call your attention is this. In the book of Genesis, we have this statement. These are all same statement. These are the generations of the heaven and earth. This is the book of the generation of Adam. These are the generation of Noah, etc., etc. And this kind of statement repeat this many times in the book of Genesis. Now, what does it say?
Historical aspect.
Historical aspect, yes. But particular what?
The generation of the ancestors.
Yes, it's talk about ancestors, but also, see, you are talking about, see, this is one section. This is the way the book of Genesis is divided. Okay, so you begin to see Genesis is the compilation of these different books of generations. Mm-hmm. This is the nature of the book of Genesis. Now, we like to know what is the emphasis of the book of Genesis. Now, let me ask you, before I show you anything. What is the emphasis of the book of Genesis? Or namely, what is the main focus, foresight of the book of Genesis? Is the book of Genesis just telling us the story of how the world, the heaven and earth are created? The Genesis, so talk about the beginning. Now, what is the emphasis of the book of Genesis? It
talks about the character.
Huh? Character of people involved. Can you say it more? Can you say more?
How they began.
Okay, how they began. And what is really the purpose? Yeah. Of course, we know he's talking about the different persons. Yeah. But what is the real purpose of the Genesis, of the book of Genesis?
Was planned for Israel.
Huh?
God's plan for Israel.
Say that again.
God's plan for Israel.
God's plan for what? For Israel. I think you're close.
Is it that to show Jesus us that the Israels are the chosen people by God?
And also leads up to the climax of Jesus, the coming of his son. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. I think all you said are true. Let's look at this.
Right.
Now, the book of Genesis only devote about one chapter to the creation of heaven and earth, creation of the universe. Okay? And then it devote about 9 chapters talk about the beginning of human race from Adam to Abraham. But from here, it's about 4/5 of the books is devoted to Israel, Adam, Abraham, and particularly Abraham. We have about 14 chapters. Isaac, only one chapter. Esau, only one chapter. And Jacob, over here, we have about 22 chapters dealing with the life of Jacob. Now, what is the emphasis then? What is the focus? The focus is on Israel, namely Jacob, the ancestor of Israel. So really, Genesis is providing the background for, let me say, what I explained the other day, the history of salvation, or evangelical history, or if you like to call it Heilsgeschichte, in the good sense of the word, is not in the bad sense of the word. I hope you make that distinction.
Why is it in the good sense?
In a good sense. Okay, I said the bad sense, the way some liberal theologians using, is that history of salvation is some kind of history, super history. Excuse me. Super history, which is not real, not true history. Okay? Namely, the act of God really does not interfere our history. Namely, in another sense, is a kind of nonsense talk.
A myth.
Yeah, a myth. Right. Okay. So that kind of thing, they call it super history sometimes. They call it super history. Namely, okay, the act of God really does not affect our the history of the world. That's what they mean. But I am using history of salvation or Heilsgeschichte in the good sense of the words, meaning that the act of God is really into our human history, history of human race, which affects actually our history. Okay, I explained the other day. Okay, in that good sense of the word. We talked about. Therefore, for example, when you begin to see the structure of the Genesis, for example, the structure of the book, we begin to see the important or the message of the book. Namely, okay, let me say it this way. Why Abraham is so important? Why Abraham is so important?
Because he's the father of Israelites.
Yeah, that's true. But what else can you see?
Faith. Yeah,
faith. God made a promise.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know how to put that question in, because if I put a question in a very specific way, I'm still giving an answer. But anyway, let me ask you to put it this way. Thing. There is a very important... Abraham is a very crucial point in the history of salvation. Mm-hmm. Why? Okay, let me put this way. Before the time of Abraham, okay? Before the time of Abraham, did God ever acted to save human race?
Yes.
Before the time of Abraham?
Noah.
And what else? Mm-hmm. Now, before the time of Abraham, God acted in history to save mankind. But everything God did before the time of Abraham was more or less stopgap measure. 临时有问题，补上一个洞，这一个洞临时补上一个洞. No systematic plan of salvation, but just when the need arises, do something here. The need arises, do something there. Rather than systematic plan of salvation. But with Abraham, the entire systematic plan of salvation can become into effect. That's the reason why Abraham is so important. And the book of Genesis brought this up. Okay. So if we miss that point, we really have not really understood.
Can you say it again?
The Genesis, yes. Okay. With Abraham, the plan of salvation, the God's plan of salvation, become very systematic. In a sense of, this is a whole system. God introduced a whole system of salvation with Abraham. But before Abraham, it was more or less some kind of stopgap. What I mean is, well, over here, there's some leakage. Well, just stop it. One here. Stop there. No systematic plan. But with Abraham, the systematic plan, whole system, systematic plan of the salvation came into effect. Okay. So that's really is a function. We begin to see the message of the Genesis. Now I like to talk a little bit about using the Epistle to Romans as an example of looking at how to see the structure of the book and help us interpret. But before I say that, okay, kind of, I'm not talking about literary form now. Of course, we talk about different literary form. Okay, let me ask this question. Is it alright too? What is the literary form? What kind of literary form is the Epistle to Romans?
Letters.
Now, literary form. Discursive. Mm-hmm. Material, right? And of course, it is letters. Yes, epistles. Now, when you talk about epistles, basically, epistles have this kind of structure. Now, today, when we write letter, usually in English, the way we write letter is we put our return address at the right upper corner, then we put the address of our addressee to the left corner, and then we say, dear such and such, and then begin to write. And finally, before we end, we say sincerely and such, sign our name. Now, that is a form, basic form of today's modern English letter. But in the first century, the basic structure of the epistle is this way. They will put down the writer's name first, the sender. Then the name of the addressee to whom that letter is writing, is to be sent. Then we have the greetings. Then we have thanksgiving and a prayer. Then we come to the body of the letter, and then finally concluding greetings. Now we may take time, just take a little time to look at this quickly. What is the first epistle you have in the New Testament? Romans. Okay, I'm not talking about chronological order. I'm talking about the way we put it. Okay, let me put it. This is something else. Something extra. Namely, why the Epistle of Romans is at the very beginning of the epistles?
Because Romans mention more about the sin, so put it first.
No.
No.
Okay. The way, of course, we have the Paul's epistle at the beginning, to begin with. But how are Pauline epistle ordered? In what sequence? By the length. The longest letter stands at the very first. Then shorter letters are in the back. Oh, that's the way you put. So Romans is not the first letter Paul wrote. Okay? The first letter Paul wrote, now in my judgment, is Galatians. But some people may think that the first Thessalonians, but there's some problem involved. But personally, I think Galatians is the first letter Paul wrote. But anyway, that's not important for our purpose. Now look at Romans. Look at the Romans here, and we see what's going on there. Okay, let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Now, can you identify how much of this is the writers? Namely, the first element here, writer and sender.
First verse.
First verse on what? What else? And then everything going on there from 奉召为使徒, etc., etc., until 6. Right? Is really, this section is something about the writer. So this section really is the name of the writer. Now it is important when you look into these epistles. Paul is very conscious of his authority. I am apostles of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus. I am the apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay. So he is writing, he's very conscious of his authority. Now, next step comes the addressee. Where is the addressee? Where do we find it?
Verse 7.
That's the addressee, right? Then greetings. Where is the greetings?
Verse 8.
Another part of
7.
No, wait a minute. Another part of 7. Right? 愿恩惠平安从我们的父神与主耶稣基督的归于您. Okay, that's greetings. Now next, verse 8. 第一我靠着耶稣基督为你们众人感谢我的神 Thanksgiving and prayer Okay And he talk all other things And then Verse 13 弟兄们我不愿你们不知道 You start to talk what you want to talk Body Okay That is the body etc Now that's the way he started Now of course at the end he has a concluding greeting Many times Sometimes concrete greeting is not necessary, but usually we have it. Okay, chapter 16, verse 21. 与我同工的提摩太和我的亲属路求耶稣所希巴的问你们安，谁谁问你们安，谁谁问你们安。 Now, these are concrete greetings. Now, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 奉神旨意蒙召做耶稣基督使徒的保罗 从兄弟所提尼 Okay, the writer, the sender 写信给在哥林多神的教会 The addressee, etc, etc, right? 那第三节 Verse 3 愿恩惠平安从神我们的父并主耶稣基督归于你们 Now, that's greeting Then, 我常为你们感谢我的神 Thanksgiving and prayer Going on, and then go into body 哥林多后诗 I'm not wasting time here. I want to see something. 哥林多后诗第一章，奉神旨意做基督耶稣属徒的保罗和兄弟提摩太 ，That's the sender. 写信给在哥林多神的教会并阿该亚遍知的众圣徒。That addressee. 愿恩惠平安从神我们的父和主耶稣基督归于你们。 That's greetings. 愿颂赞归于我们的主耶稣基督父的神，就是在讲的中，应该等于 That is thanksgiving and prayer. Then he go into the body, etc. 那加拉太书，加拉太书第一章第一节，做属徒的保罗，不是犹于人，也不是借着人，乃是借着耶稣基督与他叫他基督与叫他从死里复活的父神和一切与我同在众弟兄。 That writer sender, right? 写信给加拉太的各教会 addresses 愿恩惠平安从父神我们的主耶稣基督归于你们 Greetings Okay, what is the thanksgiving and prayer?
Verse
5 5, is it? 但愿荣耀归于神 直到永永远远 Is that thanksgiving? Thank him. He said, I thank God for you. I thank God for your work.
Like conclusion.
Huh?
Just conclusion, no?
What is that?
No, prayer.
Prayer, thanks him in a prayer. 愿荣耀归于神直到永永远远 Now, that is not merely prayer. It's not prayer. It's more or less like a doxology, really. It's the end of the 称赞神 doxology at the end of greetings. Now, where is thanksgiving and prayer?
What about verse 4?
Verse 4, okay. 基督照我们父神的旨意为我们的罪设计，要救我们脱离这罪恶的时代。 Is that the prayer? The Paul say, thank God, I thank God for you, whenever I remember you, etc.
It gives a connotation.
Where?
I mean, 感谢神为我们的罪设计。 I mean, 好像 imply 在里面
No, but
Verse 6 says, I am astonished that you are so quickly
concerning him Okay 第三节 愿恩惠 That's greeting Okay, let's 看 以弗所书 跳过去 We come back to 加拉太 奉神旨意做基督耶稣属徒的保罗 That's writer, sender 写信给在以弗所的圣徒 That is addressing, etc., etc. 愿恩惠平安从神我们的父和主耶稣基督归于你们 That's greetings. 愿颂赞归于我们的主耶稣基督的神，他在基督里曾赐给我们天上，就在一讲讲这一些，就是他也很长的 prayer. 他的 thanksgiving and prayer is very long in Ephesians chapter 1. But in 加拉太没有 thanksgiving and prayer. Why? 因为 保罗当他要写信给加拉太的时候，他非常心里非常的急，他顾 不得按照公式套公式，我要先为神感谢你。他很急着一件事也要讲，他来不及 stop to talk about 我感谢神。 And another thing is 根本保罗 Paul could not have given thanks for Galatians. Why? 因为迦太人要离弃他的信仰，所以信仰的纯正，保持纯正的信仰， the purity of faith is so important that when these Galatians neglect that, Paul even could not thank God for them. You can see the seriousness of that. So when you talk about this liberal Dean orthodoxy, these are not just indifferent issues. These are at the very, very important, these are the very crucial issue. That's the reason why the purity of faith or purity of doctrine is so important. Because when the Galatians are involved in this, Paul even could not praise God or thank God for them. Okay. So what I'm getting at is, if you begin to analyze the structure of these epistles, books of the Bible, see, you will begin to see this point. You say, hey, how come this is missing here? You begin to see it. Then you can get the impact of the message contained in the Galatians. Now, if you do not analyze this, you don't see it. You do not begin to see. So that is the importance of analyzing the structure of the book. This is one example. But not only that, how many of you, when you read the Epistle of Romans, can comprehend everything Paul says? How many of you can do that? Unless you analyze it, it is very difficult to comprehend it. Now, I will cover up something here. Yeah, this one will be alright. Now, from chapter 1, this is Epistle to Romans. Chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 17, this is the preliminary or introduction, the prologue. Namely, you have the salutation, you have the testimony of Paul, you have the theme of the letter. Okay? And then, beginning with 15:14, we have the epilogue. Then it's something he wrote at the end. Over there, here, this side. You have the personal note, you have the benediction, and you have doxology. Okay. Now, beside those beginning and end, we are going to look at the central section, namely the body of the letter. Okay, let's look at the body of the letter, which is very important. To begin with. Okay, I think that this... Okay, let's look at this, a very quick survey. Chapter 1, Epistle of Romans, beginning with chapter 1, okay, verse 18. Let's look at what Paul is talking about. In chapter 1, now I'm going to look at chapter by chapter now because of the very quick thing. In chapter 1, he talks about the sins of some people. I'm not going to identify because I may have some purpose in that. Then chapter 2 talks about the sin of some other people. Chapter 3 also talks about sin, right? Then chapter 3, verse 21, beginning, talks about, okay, we believe in Jesus and we be justified. Chapter 4 talks about the faith of Abraham. Chapter 5 talks about how Jesus died for us and prepared a way so that we can receive the justification on the basis of faith. Chapter 6 talks about we, the believer, are dead to sin and living to God. Talk about our relationship to sin. And chapter 7 talk about our relationship to the law. Chapter 8 talk about our relationship to the Holy Spirit, etc. Now chapter 9 talk about the issue of the Israel.